I was very nervous about the fact that I wasn't much of a painter myself, but then I was in at this company, starting to manage the artist side of things.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'd have like Golden Demon winners texting me pictures and going, does this look okay? And I'm like,
hot take. I'm super value painting around the table with my friends rather than playing a game of Warhammer.
How the hell do I get past where I'm at now? How do I get from here to that model that's in the cabinet or on the box? Like that, I couldn't work that out in my head.
I think that's probably the biggest growth that I've had, and the biggest moment from in all my painting where I've had the biggest increase in sort of like what I've done.
Like it is possible. Yeah. Like with X amount of hours of work and they learned somehow to do this, so you know, you can learn somehow to do this.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Paint Perspective, the brand new podcast from the team here at Siege Studios. In today's premiere episode, we're going to be talking about those light bulb moments that we have as miniature painters and things we heard that really clicked for us to help us improve our painting.
Right, let's get started then. Today's topic, which is, what is the moment that changed everything and the way you think about how you paint? So, as an example going into this, mine would be when I first came into the Siege office for my interview, which was a long time ago now, it seems.
Quite a while, yeah.
You guys showed me loads of stuff that he was working on, some amazing projects, but like the one thing that jumped out at me was that Harry Potter Primaris captain that you had.
You showed it to me, and
holding that model in the hand, because I'd never been to comps or anything before. So like you see loads of mental stuff online, but like seeing it in the hand, and that was the first time I'd ever seen a model of that quality, like in the hand ever. And I was just like, oh my God, like I need to learn how to paint like this. And like, it sounds stupid and like cheesy and like nonsense, but like I literally went home and I was like, instead of like coming away thinking about the interview, all I was thinking about was like that model and like painting.
Didn't you paint one?
I literally went home that night.
You went home and painted it, didn't you?
I went home that night. I literally like,
I'm just remembering
that
now.
As soon as I got home, I ordered the exact same model. I found the photos of it online and I was like, I'm going to copy it at least to try. And like in a weird way, like even though like mine looked nowhere near as good as Matt's, like obviously, but just painting that, like trying that hard with a reference, made such a change to my painting. And obviously like that's the foundation for how I paint now, because at that time I wasn't really painting heavy metal style. Like I was still doing edge highlights and everything, but so that was the thing for me. So I'm not saying there's necessarily like one pivotal point like that, but I'm sure you guys been doing this for a long time, been painting a long time, like I'm sure there's been one if not multiple moments where like a nugget of information, maybe from someone you're speaking to at a comp or whatever, like something just like clicked and it was like against the grain of what you've been doing before, or just something that just hadn't occurred to you, even if it's something obvious. Because you know, you hear a lot of new painters, like I'm sure when you're teaching, like it's crazy how many people don't even know about like wet palettes and stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
definitely. Yeah, I think there's loads of little things that it's difficult to say one thing personally. I think there's always been different moments, then different things within those moments that have then created, oh, I can do that now, or I've learned how to do that, or I know how to do that now. For me, there's been a few. I mean, like when I painted one of my GD entries, which was a squad, I literally approached it with the mindset of I'm going to do loads of stuff that I've never done before, whilst combining that with painting smoothest, sharpest, neatest, best I can. And I think that for me, it was probably
just getting into that mindset.
Yeah. It was a combination of doing stuff on something that had such a high risk factor, like, because I'm obviously doing it for a competition. So I'm like, right, well, I've got to do the best I can.
The usual approach of a competition is like play to your strengths, right? They say like, this is not the time to test out that new technique.
Yeah. So I threw that right out the window. I always am an advocate of like trying stuff that is hard, because then you learn and get better as a result of that, I think. And with that combination of, well, it's for a competition and also I'm doing stuff which is outside my comfort zone, I think I got that for me. That's why that piece means so much to me. That's why I've entered it so many times, because I just want to obviously try and get something for it, because it was the biggest increase in my ability and skill in one thing, I think. Doing freehand, like a decent sized bit of freehand on it, painting non-metallic metal for the first time, not massive amounts, but obviously on the freehand has non-metallic metal involved within it. I didn't just for me personally, like I didn't just tackle that specific article. I didn't just tackle that individually. I did go to one of my mates. Rich Gray, like literally I went and sat with him for a day and literally said, look, I really need help. because I can't get my mind around it. And you know, he's you know, amazing at freehand. So, but like combining all those things into one piece and approaching it with that mindset of smoothest, sharpest, neatest, best I can, whilst doing stuff that's outside my comfort zone. I think that's probably the biggest growth that I've had, and the biggest moment from in all my painting where I've had the biggest increase in sort of like what I've done.
So yours is like literally practical activity of pushing yourself to do these things is what changed it for you. Just like pushing yourself to do things.
Yeah.
Was there a moment like, because mine is going to be a lot more similar to George's, I think, but is there a moment for you that was like really early on? Like, what was the moment that was like, the difference between you painting something quite average to starting to be really refined and painting really well? Or did you go in straight away and was just like, did it just make sense to you?
I grew up trying to copy box art. So I literally would see something on the box, and obviously it's a photo, so you copy it, you try and copy as close to the rendition on the image as possible.
Yeah.
So I think I always tried to emulate and paint in that style because of what I used to see on the box art. But at the same time, when I first went to Warhammer World, years ago, they had a museum of some sort. It wasn't anything the same as what there is now, but they seeing models there in hand in a cabinet at that point is very similar to what you were saying about when you saw that the Harry Potter captain in the office.
That's the thing I think you can't appreciate about Warhammer World is, like, for me, like, especially from going to like GD for the first time this year.
Yeah.
Something about that piece of glass, even though you're like inches away from this model, like you'd be like right here, something about that piece of glass being the barrier between you and a model.
Yeah.
I don't know why it changes it so much, but it really does. It really does. And you know that from seeing like projects in the office and stuff. It's so weird how photos, for one, like, don't do models justice at all.
Yeah.
And two, like, I think even walking around the GD cabinets, like, and you can forget lighting and all that stuff, but like just seeing something in your hand in the same position as when you paint, I think that's more what it is. Like, if you're sat at a table appreciating a model.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got it, you know, in front of you in your hand, and it's the same like distance as when you paint. I think that is a big difference.
Definitely. Yeah. I think that you some photos are very, very good and very representative of the model. And sometimes you've got that middle point of what it actually looks like, and a photo can look better, can look worse. I think you're right. Like, nothing beats seeing something in the hand. You don't, because it's painted by looking at it in hand. So you're never going to get a true representation until you physically see it. Like, you're never going to, the camera will potentially shift a hue of a color or tone or whatever the case may be. So seeing it in hand is always an eye opener, always, like, you know, and the cabinet is still good. There is that pane of glass and the lighting, et cetera. But yeah, it's like the 95%, I would say, in the cabinet. Like early on, going to head office, like, before they had like a lot of the stuff that's there now, I was very young, and actually seeing, it was really eye-opening seeing stuff that I'd copied or tried to emulate from the box, and then see the models that were then photographed for the box, seeing those in hand. That for me was massively eye-opening, and I think it spurred me on to go, oh right, so an edge highlight on the box is like this, but on the miniature it's actually this refined. So then come back and you're like, right, I know I need to sharpen that up or make it smaller or whatever the case may be. I think for me that was hugely eye opening, and I think a very early point where I realized kind of like where I wanted to be as a painter. What about you?
I think, as I say, mine's a lot more similar to George's, I think, because So, obviously, like, painted Warhammer as a kid, as everyone does, gets out of it, has a break, and all of that. And then probably about 2 years before I applied to work in the Siege office, I got back into Warhammer.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, even as a kid, like, I was never saw myself as, like, a painter. Like, take Warhammer away from it, even. Like, I was never creative in that way. I was never, like, practically creative. I was always like more like mentally creative. So I like telling stories, like writing, like that sort of stuff. Obviously music comes with that. So like I never sat there and painted. I was never much of a an arty kid in that way. So when it comes to painting Warhammer, it was, I wanted to like game, and the painting wasn't really there as a big like push for me to want to be better at painting. And I also just saw it as too much of a step. Like, right, okay. How the hell do I get past where I'm at now? How do I get from here to that model that's in the cabinet or on the box? Like, that, I couldn't work that out in my head. And then going to the Siege office for the first time, again, like same as George, I think is for us, it's like the first time we get to see that quality of model in person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it does become like a little bit more like, I don't know, like reachable, because it's there. Yeah. Like, it's, you realize it is just the same thing. It's the same model that you're painting. Like, it is possible. Yeah. Like, with X amount of hours of work, and yeah, and they learned somehow to do this. So, you know, you can learn somehow to do this. So seeing that in person, and I can't even remember what specific models that I would have seen when you, I walked you, in.
You've seen loads.
We didn't have a few, like as many as we have like actually on display in the office now. But obviously, whatever current jobs we're in, and then now I've been there 4 years, so I've seen every job that's come through the company in the last 4 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And that for me, I think seeing that in person and just being a bit like, and then also like having you like just there to be like, suddenly I had someone there who I was like, I could be like, well, like what you did with, to Rich Gray.
Yeah, yeah.
I could be like, well, what do you think of that? Like, how, you know, valuable feedback. Like,
yeah, yeah.
That's not going to happen. Not everyone gets that.
No, no.
I think strange this, as well, how much you absorb like through like osmosis as well, isn't it? Like just being around,
literally just, being,
like
around
just being around that many models all the time. Just
being around it. Oh, like, suddenly, and then I remember one day I just sat down to paint and I just felt like it clicked.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I couldn't, and I was so relieved because I felt so like nervous about working at Siege and then also not really considering myself a painter. Yeah, 100%. 100%. Like I was like, I was very nervous about the fact that I wasn't much of a painter myself, but then I was at this company, starting to manage the artist side of things.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'd have like Golden Demon winners texting me pictures and going, "Does this look okay?" And I'm like,
okay, I understand.
And then you get into a whole argument about like, you don't need to be good at the thing, you just need to be a good manager.
Well, I think that goes for any position within the company. Because like, obviously I joined the painting team first. Yeah. And I know from speaking to like, you know, I've been here for a while now, but I know from speaking to like other new guys who joined the team, it's like, even though, because it's like for everyone, it is a hobby first, isn't it? And even though I was like professionally painting for a little bit before I joined the company, that it seemed like such a massive jump, and like the imposter syndrome, being around like Joe said, that, like all of a sudden I've gone from like just sort of painting the odd commission to like I'm in a WhatsApp group with like 10-15 Demon winners, Slayer Sword winners, like I'm out drinking with, you know, Slayer Sword winners at Christmas too. And it's just mental.
That is a big step. And I think we're obviously in like privileged positions in where we've been very given much. That like foot in the door almost just by being a part of the company and automatically being surrounded by all these people. But I do think this industry is actually way more open to that in general.
I think the barrier to entry like compared to other industries like arts and whatnot, like don't get me wrong, it's like it's a fair bar that you've got to accomplish, but like, you know, if you want to go and be an actor, if you want to go and be a painter in a gallery in London or whatever,
it seems
an impossible like punt of luck. And like, I think the one thing we've still got, at least for now, it being quite a niche community, is even massive artists who are, you know, big time or whatever.
Yeah.
You can probably DM them on Instagram and they'll probably message you.
Back. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, 100%.
Well, I think going to Golden Demon and stuff like that and just being, if you walked past and you saw, you know, someone, I'm not going to just name drop someone so that everyone goes and starts talking to them at Golden Demons.
You but heard like, him, Matt.
I wouldn't recommend talking to Matt. If you saw like a painter that you loved and they've won a load of, you know, trophies and stuff like that, you probably could approach them and just like sort of say hi, maybe even like ask them, like, I've got my model here. Would you mind taking a look? More often than not, they'll be up for it if they're not busy and so they've got other things to do or whatever.
Whereas just people, aren't they? You know, we're still at the scope where like because it's like a niche thing, they're like famous,
but
in that room.
Well, they're also not. Yeah,
but they're also, you know, they're still, everyone's still very normal. Most
I don't. Whereas I think the point I was getting to was like, if you compare that to any other like thing that I've tried to be a part of, like if you wanted to be a musician or something, you can't just like go to a festival and then go and talk to like, well, Bruce Springsteen and go like, can you give that a listen and let me know how you tweak it or something? Like, you can't do that. But like, it wouldn't happen.
I don't think you're ever going to lose that sense of community and sense of.
I hope not. But I don't think that's going to scale forever, James.
No, yeah. I don't think they will, George. Honestly, I genuinely
don't get me wrong. The ceiling of the industry of a professional painter is way lower than the ceiling of a musician.
No,
so like, yeah, I get that. But what I'm saying is like, it's just really cool that, I mean, we obviously had that extra boost where we could just, we're surrounded by these people straight away.
Yeah, yeah. But as a general punter that goes to GD and with that mindset, I don't think, or any painting competition, not just GD, but I don't think that you couldn't walk up to somebody there and go, hi, I love your work. I love what you do. You know, I love the reds that you get, or the way you do your non-talented.
Well, GD lends itself to that because everyone's kind of there for that reason. Yeah. So I do agree that, like, I think it will, you know, it's got to start getting ridiculous before that's going to be a problem.
I think
in other events, like, you know, eventually, like, if it scales as much as like it seems to be going, like, I don't know if it ever will, or like how far into the future we're talking now. But you know, eventually, it's going to get to the point where, like I said, like, oh, you can, at the minute, you can kind of DM most people and they'll probably get back to you. But is that still going to be the case when, like,
I think,
you know,
big
painters have
person.
Got hundreds of thousands of followers.
Also,
and they're getting
to,
hundreds of, if not thousands of DMs.
Just to
every
clarify,
day.
Like, if anyone has made it this far into the episode, if you do DM someone and they don't reply to you, they're not necessarily being like,
they're not just ignoring
you.
Well,
more just meant in the sense of, like, you know, it's an achievable thing. Like, if I,
yeah,
if
yeah,
I DM,
it can happen, right?
If I, like, you know, yeah, DM some, you know, insert X artist here from music, you know, famous pop star.
Probably
they're
won't
not gonna,
reply.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I know from our Instagram, like, obviously, that we've got the following that we've got, and we do get a lot of messages and stuff, but, like, I still try and reply to as many as I can.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying. Like, it does reach a point whereby, as the industry does get better and then thinking about it a bit more sort of like factually, it will maybe one day get to a point where you do get so many messages, whoever you are, whatever size you are, and it just physically isn't possible to even reply.
I think
to
that them. Scales with content as well. Because at the minute, a lot of painters are, that's the only thing they do. They paint for competitions. A lot of them have got other jobs and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But now, like, the gaps are getting bridged with content. Like, so many painters now are starting Patreon or YouTube videos or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And as you grow as a personality beyond, you know, just your body of work, and people start getting to know you, and you, you know, as you know, like, being, you could be like mega famous painter within our bubble, but that might equivalent to like 30,000 Instagram followers. Whereas like being a big time influencer on YouTube is like, you know, we're talking like millions of people. So it scales, I think, as content starts to become more and more integrated with, you know, the painting side of the hobby, and that scopes with competitions, etc. I think that, you know, the more people start doing content and start seeing this as an avenue for, you know, work, because I think, you know, as we know, like, it's becoming a job for more and more people.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that overlap might change.
Potentially, yeah. Like, I've always said, like, as it gets more commercialized, the industry, it's going to open up way more opportunities for people. Like, every other industry that's had that longevity of commercial nature to it, like, I think that is going to come with the industry. And it's a completely different topic, maybe for a different show. But like, but you are going to see it whereby it becomes more like that, I think, as time passes. But
I think just at the moment, it just so happens that the high end of the kind of, like you say, like the 30,000 followers or something like that is quite a big thing in for a painter.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's still a fairly manageable audience to have.
Yeah.
It just so happens that that's on the higher end of what you could expect in this community at the moment.
Yeah.
So when that does start to increase, if you look at painters that potentially are going, and companies that are going past the 100K, 120K, whatever followers, then it starts to become a little bit less manageable, and you can maybe not expect to get a reply every time. But like, I still don't think that's a person. I don't think that's a thing on the personality or the person running the page. I think if they had the time and they could,
oh yeah,
it feels like everyone in this industry wants to just talk about.
No, I agree. Yeah, definitely. I think that it's a very easy. Our industry is great for just being able to speak to people about the thing that we're all communitively passionate about. I think in all aspects, whether it's painting, the gaming, or whatever, blah blah blah.
And I think just to tag on the end, like really, I didn't want to do this as my only answer because it felt a bit salesy. But like when I first went on one of our painting courses,
yeah,
just getting like, I didn't know how much I would value like
spending that time.
Yeah, just having something literally shown to me in front of my face. Yeah. This is how you do it. And then
there's little things you can't absorb
it
through a tutorial as well, I suppose, because you're just sort of seeing it like through the eyes of the painter.
Yeah.
Just being able to see little things like, you know, watching someone paint, as I'm sure you know from teaching a lot of courses, James, like you can't appreciate like how they're sat, how they're holding the brush, little things that you can't appreciate through a tutorial.
Thing is,
it was honestly the biggest like eye-opening thing as to like, I didn't realize I'd benefit that much from it. And I feel like we hear that a lot from people that go on our courses, and I'm not just trying to sell tickets to our courses, like,
Buy tickets to our courses.
Yeah. Although there are limited tickets available. So if you're going to do it, you should do it now. But there's not that many spaces left. But I'm not saying to just go run out and buy the course. But like, I honestly benefited so much from that. Like, just
good.
And that could be, just to fully caveat that, that could be just like painting with friends or painting with a friend that is a better painter than you. Having that in front of you and just getting that sort of advice. It's one thing me like going into work and saying to you, like, what do you think of this?
Yeah.
It's another thing to sit next to you and you like show me what you were doing.
On that, let's reel it back into the topic a bit. So we've had sort of similar answers in the sense of like, you know, the moments that changed for us was like, you know, seeing and appreciating high levels of work, speaking to other people. What do you think for, you know, the average Joe listening? What do you think the
offensive,
like equivalent...
Take offense to that term.
For the average person listening, what do you think is like their equivalent, or like how can they get their foot in the door and maybe get a taste of that for themselves? So, you know, say someone living in the States right now, you know, they don't have Warhammer World on their doorstep.
Yeah.
Or, you know, someone who doesn't have a big painting group, you know, a bunch of friends. What do you think is the best way?
Something very controversial, I think.
Go for it.
I think.
Hot take.
I'm super, super value painting around the table with my friends rather than playing a game of Warhammer. Now, I love playing games of Warhammer. I think it's a great way to pass time, relax, like chill out from work.
Relax?
Et cetera. Yeah.
Stresses me out.
10th edition's coming. It's going to be easier.
Oh, that does seem a bit more relaxing.
But no, what I would definitely say is that like for me, I would get more value. That is, you're saying obviously about Warhammer World and but seeing other people's miniatures or seeing other miniatures in the flesh, there's always going to be one person in a demographic of friends that paint, that play this game, that is going to be a more skilled painter. So I think I would advocate having painting evenings with my friends around a table, get some food in, get some drinks, whatever it is you want to obviously do, and sit around a table all painting together. I think that's a better way to spend the time than playing a game personally.
Do you think as well that could lend itself nicely to like, you know, if you all went in with the mindset of like, you know, not strictly going here as like, you know, work, we're going to practice, but like maybe you do pass models around and like just rebound feedback off of each other. So
yeah, definitely.
You know, if your friend's painting in front of you and you've both been painting for an hour, you know, you're still chatting, you're still eating food, it's still fun.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
maybe like, you know, at one point you swap and just like, oh, what do you think of this?
Well, I would say then if you've got a regular gaming night with your friends, all you need to do is literally just alternate it, do one gaming week, one painting week, one gaming week. Because then the beauty of that also as well is that
you can actually get your army painted.
You can get your army painted for your games, you know, and then the week prior that you spent ages painting that character and you get it killed the next week, first turn. So, you know, I think
the thing is as well, like, there's always even if you can't go all the way, like we're saying about seeing models in person and stuff like that. And
yeah.
Look, there's a lot of people that come into this industry and hobby who aren't particularly comfortable in social situations. Maybe they don't want to approach people and ask them for feedback and stuff like that. I think there's still tiny steps you can take forward to that by, like, you know, you can be in Discord groups.
Definitely,
and chat with people.
Yeah.
You can be completely anonymous.
Yeah, but then you can just share photos.
You can share photos. That's still a step closer.
Yeah.
And maybe once you build a few like kind of friendships with people in those Discord channels, maybe you can do like a meetup, or you meet at a shop or something like that, you might be a bit more comfortable with it. It's all just depends on how comfortable you are being social and stuff like that. Because to be fair, I always struggled with like, I think the reason I benefited from it being in the Siege bubble so much was because like I kind of got thrown into a social circle that already existed within the painting.
Yeah.
I never once went to like a Warhammer shop or like a any gaming shop and just got chatting to random people.
Oh, right. Okay.
Like, unless they come up to me, I always was terrified that I like seemed rude and stuff. And I felt like it at like, I feel like it when we do conventions and stuff like that. And I never want to come across as rude. I'm just like, I can't approach people like that. So when I was like going to gaming nights and stuff like that, it would always be with a few people that I already knew. Yeah. And I wouldn't be the one. I would see an army over there that I would love to go and look at, but I wouldn't go and talk to that person. So some people are like that. And I think you can always just move a little bit closer.
Yeah, maybe it wouldn't bridge the feedback gap, but like maybe, you know, join a Discord group. There's tons of them. Join the Siege Discord. But, you know, even just doing it virtually, you know, even if you're not like, you know, on camera or whatever, even just being in an audio channel, you know, whilst painting with other people, because you're all doing the same thing, you know, just chatting about Warhammer, chatting about painting. Oh, what are you doing right now?
I actually find when you do that and you're in an audio channel, or if you're on like a video chat with your mates, whatever, while you're painting, because your attention is being split between the painting and also speaking to the people. And because of speaking to people isn't a visual thing, I find that I power through and get loads more done.
Get the boring stuff done.
Because you're mentally distracted with the conversation.
Time goes so fast.
Yeah, but you still, your hands and eyes are still working on the thing. So you're kind of like, your mind is split between the conversation and painting. And I actually find I get loads more done when I have like a Discord chat or, you know, a video call with a couple of mates or whatever, or Zoom group or whatever. I find that helps me massively, and I get like loads more done as a result of being in that, rather than just sitting on my own with an audiobook on, which is normal.
And I think it might not even be like the social limitations, like I was saying. It might be that you live in the middle of nowhere,
Alaska,
and you can still connect with people in that way.
If you've managed to stick around to the end, thank you very much for listening to today's episode. Please feel free to leave your comments below and share all of your mind-blowing moments that you've had as miniature painters. And please subscribe, like, and share with all of your friends. Thank you very much for listening.